Hello, everybody. Hi, this is Brenda. I'm so glad to be here today. It's such a beautiful day. Amazing to think that already we are on the edge of spring. Wow. And so much gratitude for this blessing that pulled us out of the dark winter. And of course, we're now on daylight savings time here in the United States. So judging by the number of people who got here, I'd say you navigated that change very, very well. And I'm so happy to be here with you. Me too. And I want to thank all of you for joining in blessings for my health. I think finally we've got the coughing under control. It's gone. And now I just have to repair the quality of my voice because months and months of coughing do wear it down a little bit. I don't think I'm going to have, a guy voice for too long. I'll get back to my sweet voice, hopefully. And pray for that. Well, we have Nancy here. Hello, dear.
Hi there. Hi, everyone. Happy Sunday. Can you hear me?
I can. Yeah, happy Sunday to you, too. And your new babies, I'm sure, are thriving.
We had two of them here last night, two of the little ones, Dean and River, 4 and 2. And I'll just share real quickly. We just had so much fun. We had a little dance party, and it was pretty funny watching Papa do the old grandpa dance. It was really fun. So we just turn the music on, and each one does their own little song, and it's pretty fun. So we're having a big time.
That's great. Okay. Well, you know, that's one of many wonderful things about little tiny kids is they bring out the kid in every one of us. It's always there, and sometimes our greatest hurt and agony in life is letting go of that inner child, that innocence that we have. Yeshua reminds us in Love Without End to seek innocent perception. And it's not just how pretty a flower is. It could be innocent perception about anything, like time to change the diaper. A little kid will just say, "Hey, Ma, pooped in my pants." they don't have any thoughts that this is not an appropriate thing to say, because for a little kid, it's very appropriate. And so many other things that are just part of their innocence. Being around them helps us to remember our childhood and our innocence. And it's not just something that's a pleasant memory. Yeshua said, he spoke to the apostles, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a child." Come to the kingdom of heaven as if you are a child. Now that, for an adult perspective, that implies a little more than just baby dancing. It also means, you know, we don't judge. Kids don't judge. They can, if they get their feelings hurt, they're going to let you know. They're going to cry, or maybe even throw a tantrum because you promised them something and they didn't get it, and you're going to hear about me. But you know, even though we think of those as negative emotions, what's positive is they let us know what they're thinking. No matter what, they just let us know. How much better would it be for us if we just let others know when something has crossed our path wrongly, stepped on our toes and it hurt, ignored us when we needed to be part of something, and we just expressed ourselves? Because I think, and I know from my personal experience, that when I express myself, It's always milder than if I wait until I bottle it up and then I work it out as some kind of drama. It's not going to go away. If you get a rose thorn in your finger and you break it off, that thorn's not going to go away. It'll fester, and you'll get a needle after it, and that will hurt worse than actually pulling it out correctly the first time. And you might even have to go to the doctor and have it cut out. That happened to me once. So the more we can just be in the moment, the less there is anything truly negative, even if someone cries. The fact that you respond and say, "Oh no, well, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I'm so sorry for what I said. Let's talk about it. Tell me, what did you want me to know?" No, you can get into a direct and meaningful conversation with anyone and get them out of that hurt point. Hint, everybody gets hurt sometimes. Sometimes. I think one of the reasons that Joshua went out to the desert is because the crowds were impressing them their needs on him so heavily. And then on the other hand, the priests were pommeling him with their objections so heavily. He just got, "Look, I can't stand this anymore. But I'm not going to take it out on anybody because they don't know what they're doing." You know, I'm sure that was a phrase he said many more times than just on the cross. On the cross he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." I wonder how many times in his life he said the same thing. Because, you know, really. And then go out to the desert to feel. Well, the more we can actually just be with what's happening right now, the better life is. And the answer is observe. Observe what you've done. Communicate. No, actually, before communicate, own what you did. Yeah. Last night, I had a night that went totally out of control because I was working on a problem that was hard to solve. I couldn't get it solved, so then I deferred to another problem that I was running past schedule on. So in all of that, I didn't eat. But the one thing I had on hand was a half pint of Häagen-Dazs ice cream. So that was my supper. Not a good thing to do. Because it gave me the wrong kind of energy. I mismanaged my night. And I was just going, "Oh my gosh. The things just have to keep getting worse and worse and worse around here." And I caught myself and I said, "Come on, you crazy woman." Nothing had to be worse. You made it worse. Okay. I owned what I mismanaged, got myself lined back up. It was like, okay, said a prayer, talked to Yeshua, asked him about the blessing call today, and thought about, "Oh, I'm going to call Nancy. We're going to talk beforehand. We're going to make it fabulous." So it all started with recognizing and owning the fact that I let them feel a lot of control. And, you know, anybody can do that. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Doesn't mean you're a wild man, wild woman. You're just doing life, and you're not taking charge of what you need to be doing right now. So I want to invite all of you to think about that in your life. And then also think about, not only do you have to own what you would like to remedy, you do. It's important then to, after that point, then you ask for help. And so we open our board for people to come on board and say, you know, I'm having a little trouble with this, that, or another, or I'm calling for my best friend, Henry, who just can't seem to get things together, and I don't know what to say or do. Can you send blessings from Yeshua to him? And that's a perfectly wonderful thing to ask for. So come on board, ask for the blessings you need, and we'll help you get centered back in your life. But no matter how bad the situation is, it really does help to own it first. I've told this story many times, so I won't allow it to become a story. But in 2022, I was suffering from extremely severe back pain. And I thought, will I ever be normal again? I'd seen a lot of doctors, and they'd say, oh, there's nothing we can do for you. It is what it is. And I said, okay, I guess I'm here. I guess that's it. So I owned it. As soon as I owned it, then I asked Yeshua for his help. 3 days later, the pain is gone. I mean, gone to never return again. Not just relieved. So what did I do to own it? Is I accept it. That I may have this for the rest of my life. But am I going to allow it to destroy my life? I thought about people who are quadriplegics, who have made a beautiful life with their worst condition. You know, people with the worst handicaps you can imagine. When they accept them, they start looking at, okay, all right, this is what I will do, and this is how I will make a life out of this. We were given a life, and that life is precious. No matter what condition it's in, you can own it. And when you own it, then you give your condition back to God to improve it. God says, ask. Yeshua says, ask. These are scriptural. These are scriptural. Even the Apostle Paul, in his frustration to help one of the churches that he was leading and expanding, formulating, that Apostle Paul said to them, he wrote in a letter, he said, they were complaining that, well, we pray and we pray and we pray and God does nothing. And he looked at, okay, you're probably praying formula prayers. You're probably praying chants from the temple. You're probably not asking. So he wrote back and he said, you ask not, therefore you receive not. Then he went on to elaborate to them. You gotta ask. And it's partly because we need to humble ourselves that we don't have the answer. It's partly because when we have done everything we can do with an attitude adjustment, a life exploration, probably the answer is outside ourselves. And not only God, but other people are going to be reluctant to meddle with your life. If you don't ask, you're not going to get it. Well, that's why we open up the board. So, Nancy, how about we open the board to...
Let's do it. We have Sarah. Sarah, your line is open.
Wow, I get to be first. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So glad you're here, Sarah.
What I want to say is so right on track with what Glenda has just been sharing. I have two things that are sort of not the same at all. But the first one is earlier this week, I discovered that I have some kind of an issue going on with my kidneys. So I am so proud of myself, because this whole time, I still have no test result. I have no idea how this is going to play out. But I have been in a place of not worrying, not imagining, you know, all the terrible things that this could mean. I have been just focused on, it could just be I just need to drink more water. And, and just going through this whole thing, it's like, not that long ago, I would have been worrying about all kinds of, you know, potential possibilities. You know, I do have diabetes, and kidney issues are sort of tied into that, apparently. So, I don't know. It's just, I am feeling better than ever these days.
That's great.
So I want to put my, I want to put my health in the blessing, but, you know, I'm just so grateful that I have been learning all this stuff Glenda talks about all the time.
Yeah. Good.
That's great.
Yeah. And then the other thing I want to put in the blessing is next Sunday, in the morning, earlier than this blessing time, but I have been invited to do a blessing at the little church I've been going to for a long time. And it that church, it's called Hope Community Church, small. We have not really recovered from the, you know, being shut down for the pandemic. There are a lot of challenges going on, some interpersonal stuff, very small turnout. So I am feeling really good about having this opportunity to, in person, be there and do a blessing. And I'm hoping that there might be some other blessing givers who somewhere around, I can't pin down exactly what time that'll happen, but somewhere around 11 o'clock East Coast time next Sunday, you'll see all of other blessing givers could maybe join us. I'm looking forward, and so I want to just put that, the whole situation with the church in this
place. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
I love that. Well, many, many blessings to you on this, Sarah. And you're going to be fine. Your health report will be fine. It may contain some issues and remedies, because most of them do, but it doesn't mean that it's a protocol you will be confined to. I know that's one of my issues with going to see any kind of doctor, whether it's herbal or traditional, is I don't want to be on a long protocol.
Right.
You know, I'd like to fix it and be done. Well, the best way I've found to fix it and be done is to first accept it, and you've done that. So
yeah.
You are perfectly set up for what may be done. And I have a little something suggestion for you, and that is celery juice. Pure celery juice, and I'm talking about a half a glass to a whole glass with nothing else in it, no other vegetable, nothing, just celery juice. There are I don't know what the word, I tend to want to say celluloid, but that's not quite. Anyway, there are little organic crystals that form in celery, and these crystals will flush out crystals that are in your kidney, and it's not going to elevate your blood sugar, because the sugar level in celery is not that high. You know, it really isn't. And one of the problems of trying to handle a kidney issue with drinking more water, which is always a good thing, is to be hydrated. But one of the issues with that is that then we use our kidneys more. And if they're not in prime condition, they want to kind of chill and lean back and not be as functional. It's just like any muscle that hurts, you don't want to use it. So I found in my journey through life is that eating foods that are rich in water helps to distribute hydration into my body at a rate that it can be more likely absorbed into the cells of our body where it's needed and less becomes a burden to our kidneys than a big glass of iced tea would be. You know, you drink a big glass of iced tea, which is slightly diuretic. First, it's going to put a big load into your bloodstream, which then has to be filtered by your kidneys. And then you feel like, oh, gee, I don't want to drink anything else the rest of the day. Been there, done that. So eat more food that is rich with hydration. So the food distributes it through the whole digestive and assimilation process. And get a juicer or go to a store that does juicing and just get, you might want to just do, try that. Go to a juicing place. All they do is juicing. So if you tell them only celery, that's all I want, they'll make it for you. And you can see if it works. I have done this and I have found that it will actually elevate my awareness and my energy without any hyper effects. Just feeling normal, like more normal energy, more normal alertness, more interest in my afternoon. It really does actually have a profound cleansing effect on your body without taxing your body, and that's the key. That's the key. So I just put that out there if it can be a benefit to you, Sarah.
All right. Thank you. That's awesome.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, many blessings, and I will hold you. I'll be there for you next Sunday, okay?
Wonderful. I love it. Okay.
Yes, okay. Me too. 10 a.m. our time. You've got it.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Sarah. Much love. Glenda, we have, let's see, is it working? Looks like Dee Dee's here. Hi, Dee Dee.
Hi, how are you today?
We're good.
All right. Thank you for your sharing your story about the ice cream last night, because I had a similar thing where I decided to make peanut butter cookies last night, not really knowing what time it was.
I've done that.
Put myself to bed and realized, oh my God, it's 12:38. And then I started to read something to calm myself down. And the first thing I see on the paper is, don't forget to set your clock. And, oh my God, that means it's 1:38. This is not. So yeah.
Yeah. So, well, you know, this brings a little bit of refinement to something I had already started saying, is that you want to be mindful of what kind of energy you're getting. You know, you go through the stores and it's all kinds of energy drinks, energy bars. Everybody wants more energy, but there are good kinds of energy that are appropriate to the day. There's the kind of energy you want to wake up with and not get wired. There's the kind of energy you want to glide into the evening with, but you want it to be gentle and sort of easygoing energy, the kind that you could slip into bed with and have a good night's sleep. In fact, a lot of people have discovered that I don't recommend this to everybody. No, you have to think about yourself, because actually when you sleep, your body will burn calories, a lot of calories, because it's healing. That is the number one healing time for your body. And as a general rule, I don't think it's a good idea to take attention away from the healing process by putting it on your tummy to digest something you just ate. Okay. So I'm be mindful of what I'm about to say, but I learned when I was in really the depths of exhaustion that it actually helped me to have a little hot drink, not with caffeine, of course, but a little hot drink with just a few nuts at bedtime, because it gave me peaceful energy that kept me from sinking into a coma-like sleep where nothing got done. I didn't get healed. I didn't get jazz. I didn't dance in my sleep. I mean, nothing got done because I was so tired. I just went into, you know, a coma-like sleep. And you don't really want that either. You want a deep, healthy sleep. And after doing that for a while, I shared my little possible transgression against health with others. And I said, oh, we do the same thing. And I said, well, what do you do? Well, most of them would confess it like they cheated on life. Well, you know, I had a piece of cake before I went to bed. And I said, you know, maybe, how about a piece of fruit? Well, you know, that's not as satisfying as a piece of cake. And then I was told, well, okay, but, you know, if I ate some meat, my stomach could be working on that for 4 hours, and I wouldn't have any time for healing energy. If I eat a piece of cake, it's in and out in 20 minutes. So, you know, Glenda, maybe I'm more right than you are. And I said, good. It's good to learn from somebody who knows better than I do. So we do learn from each other. And I would say be open to people who have solutions that might help you. Going by the book.
I don't normally eat cookies right before bed. I tend to not eat any sugar after 2 in the afternoon. But I was like, well, I have to try one, you know. But I ended up trying 1, but 3, and then tried to fall asleep, which was a joke. So I part of what I was wanting blessings about is getting good sleepful rest, which I know, you know, I foiled myself last night on that.
Of course.
Yeah. But I'm going through, I realized this last week that I really need to not be doing the job I started doing 3 months ago. It's just not serving my heart at all. And so and the money is really good. It's the best money I've ever made. But I realize that I will be chasing after my tail for the 5 years I have left before retirement if I stay in this job. It's just never going to be a time where I'll be feeling like I'm caught up or that I'm serving my purpose or my heart. Because I'm not working with people in the way that I've done in the past that feels really meaningful and purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
I've been just wanting to surrender this to God's will, and I've got a couple of other places I want to look at for working, but I would love some blessings in my direction around making that change, and it's not going to be an easy thing to put in my notice, and I'm not planning on doing it straight away until things are a little bit more caught up in my world, and I've been offered some overtime to help make that happen recently.
That's good.
I'm a person who really likes to do quality work and to be on top of everything, and this is not a job where I'm ever going to be able to make that happen. I'm a Virgo, if that makes anyone.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I just think it's too much, and
gotcha.
I look
And yes, go ahead.
I look at the people who have been working there for several years, and all of them are not in a good, healthy state. I just don't want to be sitting in front of a computer every day, all day, and not really working with people as much as, you know, in person.
Dee Dee or D?
It's whichever you feel called to call me.
Or is it Tracy?
No, it's Dee Dee.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, Dee Dee, I just want to say, life is short.
Yeah.
You know, when we're young, we look at maybe 70 years in front of us. And we think, oh my gosh, you know, there's so many things I could do. And we make up our list of dreams. And one day we wake up 50 years later and we think, what happened? How did I get here so fast? It's like God put us here on one page of our book, and on the other side of the same page is about to call us home. And our life is the thickness of a book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Don't let that slip away. Treasure every day you have. But in saying that, at the same time, be mindful about what you've been given and allow it to be a blessing. Right now, the extra money is a blessing to you. Be grateful for it and say, thank you, God. I really, really needed this. And mm-hmm. if you are in a state of gratitude, it will ease up the pressure for you, mm-hmm. and it will allow you to find a little more grace in the days that you're there. Also, accepting it in a state of gratitude will assist you in transitioning to another job that you like much better.
Right.
So be mindful about everything. Own the moment.
Yeah.
Own every moment in your life.
Yeah. Thank you. I do try.
And then you will have a string of pearls that you rejoice in wearing when you've owned every one of those pearls. Every one.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think a lot of us go through a lot of those things you're talking about. So thank you, Judy. Thank you, Glenda, for making it clear.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you. And just one last blessing again for my son, who's going through looking at divorce in August with his wife, and was not his desire. And he's wanting to find an apartment now that's close to his home, or buy a small plot of land and be close to the kids and have enough room in a modular home that he could have rooms for the kids, because he'll be having them half of the time. So.
Well, it's good he's going to have the kids half the time. That's a good point.
He's a great dad. And for my grandson Ashton, who is Hunter's strep throat got better. My 8-year-old grandson, my almost 7-year-old mm-hmm. grandson, is really struggling some emotionally with the parting ways, which I can't imagine he wouldn't.
Of course, they will.
So
It's going to be a heavy responsibility for both parents to get those kids through it.
Yep. Tricky, tricky stuff.
You get to play a role too, Dee Dee, as grandma, so that's really beautiful, you know?
Well, and I want to, but they're 9 hours south of me.
Oh, okay, that's hard.
It's really hard. I talk with them on the phone, except I don't get one-on-one time with anybody but my two-year-old granddaughter, because my son is always with her, but the grandsons are, you know, busy doing a game or busy doing this or that, and so active. But I did reach out, or yesterday in a talk, I said, I'd really like to be able to have some one-on-one time with each of the boys on the phone, if that is possible, and if there's a time in the day that works for you to call, have them call me. I would really like to be able
try
to be
Zoom.
There,
you know? Try Zoom. That might stimulate their...
Well, we do through the phone, and they'll hold the phone, and they've done that before. They'll talk with me on the phone. But
okay. With the FaceTime, with the video, yeah, that's what they love.
So. Yeah. Yep, that's what I try to do, but I just have had zero time with them, and I, you know, they've had the talk with the parents about the divorce. So I know that they're going through stuff, and I would like to be there more, and I, because of the job as well, I don't have the time off to be able to jot down there, which I had been doing every 3 months or so. But
yeah, thank you for calling and asking about them. They'll be in the blessing today.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Well, bless you, Dee Dee. Glenda, we have Christopher. Your line is open. How are you today?
Hi, everybody. So good to be here. I'm grateful. I have two blessing requests to ask for. One is for Mac Olson. He's an Episcopal priest, and he's been sick and having a hard time getting well. He's supposed to come out here to our community and help us with some, like, revitalization workshop in April, and just praying for him to be healthy and well. And then my neighbor, Candy, who's this really sweet, wonderful person, she's been having some kind of mystery health condition where she has sweats multiple times a day, and it's just become very exhausting for her and overwhelming. And the medical profession hasn't been able to give her answers. So I'm just praying for, I know she has a lot of people praying for her right now, but I just want to ask a special blessing for her to get well. I know that it's become very overwhelming for her. So...
Okay. Well, we love her, and we've got her name on our list. How about you, Christopher? Blessings for you.
Thanks, Glenda, for asking. I didn't want to take up much time, but I had a question, and it's very much related to your what you've been sharing. And I just wanted to see if you, without taking up too much time, just this question around, you know, what's that balance point between acknowledging and owning when we've been off track and asking for help versus what can happen when, you know, sometimes we can be really hard on ourselves? For example, you know, you read in the Bible and there's these stories where God gets really angry at the Israelites, and, you know, he condemns them. He says, you know, you betrayed me, and now you're condemned. And, you know, it's, like, easy to read that and start to feel really hard on yourself. And so I'm just, like, really curious about that process of repentance and what Yeshua would say about that, because I think it can get really confusing. I'm saying this for my own benefit and for anyone else on the call who has struggled with this within the church. You know, how do we approach repentance in a way that's healthy, you know? Because I'm finding that growing up in the church and having had so many messages that were, you're a worm in the dirt, and, you know, I just see how that can really have an impact on your deep subconscious mind when you're told that from a child, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So how do you know what
true.
I mean? I know what you're talking about. So I just wanted to see what Yeshua had to say. I feel like you were already addressing it to a certain degree today, so thank you for that. And anything else
you
want to share?
Well, yeah, it's a very important subject to be addressing in today's world. Is so much blame and judgment being thrown around one side to another, just generating more and more conflict. Okay, well, we're not going to go there. Okay, we're not going to go there right now. The first thing I'm going to say is you may have noticed, and all of you may have noticed if you've spent very much time reading the Bible, that there is a very different character to God from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Yeshua came to bring love and forgiveness to all of mankind. Okay. And so from this point on, and he sent the Holy Spirit to be here and guide us away from tendencies toward self-destruction or destruction of others. And so it's really said in one of the books of the New Testament that the only unforgivable sin is to turn away from the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because see, the Holy, so many Pentecostals have exaggerated the role of the Holy Spirit as being a one-time salvation. Well, Yeshua made it really pretty clear that God isn't finished with us yet. It's going to be a process. The important thing to God is that it is a process, that it is ongoing, that we have turned around and made a decision about owning our life, being responsible human beings for living among others. And that turning around point is what the word repent means. Repent literally means turn around. You've been going in one direction, down, down, downhill. You catch yourself. You repent. And who is there at that moment of repentance? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes into you and transforms that part of you that was just almost addicted to continuing to go down, down, down. And I think one of the reasons we do keep going down, down, down is like any other form of addiction. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to think, well, you know, I was attracted to this, so there must be some pony in the barn. If I just keep knocking on more barns and opening more barn doors, there's got to be a pony in there because I wouldn't have gone. Well, the fact is, as human beings, we were given authority over our life. We were given sovereignty over our life, and we can take it any direction that we want it to go. But after a while, it's important to realize that at some point we pick the wrong direction. It's not working for us. And I don't just mean that in the way of sin or self-deprecation. It could be like Dee was talking about, well, I got this great job for money, but it's not going to serve the purposes of my life. She knows that now. She has assessed that, she knows it, and now she owns it. So, and once you take ownership of something, then the Holy Spirit will be there with you to guide you into the corrective state to get you going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. But just because we turn around on a dime doesn't mean life is going to get all rosy and full of marshmallows on a dime. It doesn't. It means we've turned around. And now everything that changes in our life will be for the better. And mm-hmm. as we go in the direction for the better, we will come to thresholds that we cross. It's kind of like climbing a mountain. Mountain climbers will throw their pickaxe up and use that pickaxe to hold on the side of the mountain. And then climb, climb, climb until they get a good foothold. If they've got a really solid foothold, well, they'll sit down and look at the view. And a lot of times that's exactly what we do when we think we've got a good foothold on life. It's better. We're getting better health. We're having friends who support us, that we enjoy being around, and we're going to enjoy the view. Well, don't park there too long because there's more to do. Okay. And, so again, throw the pickaxe up the hill, grab onto it, climb, 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 until you find another foothold. And if you do that, the difference between going down and going up is that if you don't make it all the way up, you're not going to be mad at yourself. You're just going to be maybe a little disappointed, like, oh, when am I going to get up the mountain? Okay. I'll stop thinking to myself. Just do the work. Let's keep going. And it's all together a much better attitude. And God is not up there to punish you. Now, in the Old Testament, he is portrayed as someone who takes it as long as he can tolerate it. And then all hell is going to break loose. Literally, a flood, a fire, a volcano. I mean, literally, because, okay, I've had it with you guys. All right. I'm creating a whole new generation. And that's pretty much the way it's portrayed in the Old Testament. And maybe that's the way it was. I'm not going to go there and say, God was horrible and he reinvented himself. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going there because really, the one who is in charge was always in charge. The universe was created as love, for love, by love. But at a certain point, God did realize that we're not managing all the great qualities we were born with. We're not managing our ability to love. We need a little more instruction. Okay? We're not managing the terms of love, which were defined by God and the universe. We think love is just, lust or greed, love of money, or it's just, codependency. You'd be surprised how many times in counseling someone with codependency, I've had to encounter their definition of love was actually the problem. I want somebody who just who takes care of me, who's there for me no matter what. And I have to say, well, have you ever had that thought about your friend? What about you being there for your friend? Well, I wouldn't know how to do that. But I love her. And I said, well, what is that love? Well, it's like a feeling you've got. You just know when you love someone. And I said, well, you know, that kind of love couldn't have created this universe. Sometimes you just have to say, what's the best I can do in this situation? How do I love through this? And I'm going to give you guys a few examples of humans and wildlife. Because there are a lot of great stories of how under duress, and especially when baby lions or tigers or bears were at stake and mom wanted to survive, assure their survival, they would actually seek out the help of humans and be loving and appreciative and almost co-parenting with the humans that came in to help. And then, in some cases, they remembered that human forever. But in other cases, they come back and they attack the human. Attack. And we think, they betrayed me. No, they went back to being a bear. They went back to being a lion. And the moment had passed where you break down the boundaries that defines love in functional ways. And love is actually quite functional. It couldn't have created the universe if it wasn't functional. Okay, let's just get that clear out of the way right now. How could you have star system after star system, galaxy after galaxy, operating with the beauty and the harmony of a clock, if there was no function to the love from which they were created. It is functional. There is, if you see a rattlesnake in your backyard, you don't take it in the house and try to make a pet out of it. Okay. There was a woman I just absolutely, oh, I loved and fell in love with a beaver. A little beaver. She was into rescue work and she was a licensed wildlife rehabilitator. And she had a TikTok account that documented and chronicled the whole life of this little baby beaver boy. I think he was only about 2 or 3 weeks old when she got him. And he was the star of the show. Oh my gosh, that little guy was the most loving, more than a cat or a dog. I mean, it was like your mom and I want to be in your arms. And he played with her and they played together and she got so much hate communication from the community because they didn't understand. They were hating her for having exploited a poor little baby beaver that now needed a home, and she was making a pet out of him. Well, she tried to educate them. She said, I am a licensed wildlife rehabilitator, and the thing about beavers, which is not true of all wildlife, but it is about beavers, is that they are educated by their family for 2 years before they're allowed to go into the wild. And they are loved and coddled and taught, and they're even given chores in their little beaver hut where they clean up after the babies and they plaster up the roof. So they're given all kinds of indoor chores. They're taught everything about being a beaver. Well, when they're about 2 years old, that's when the reproductive system is mature. And it begins to furnish these little guys with the urge to get out into the world to mate and survive. And at that point, they're on their way to becoming a very husky animal. They can weigh up to 600 pounds. Just one male full-grown beaver. But that's not a two-year-old. But the two-year-old could easily weigh 200 pounds. And they will kill a human. Kill. I don't mean just attack. They won't stop till they kill the human. And she made that very clear that in the last 6 months of their two years with me, I will be weaning them into this wild pond where they will learn how to eat and forage for themselves and they will grow independent. And, of course, by that time, everybody on TikTok following them was in love with the little beaver. I mean, it was the cutest thing you ever saw. Love incarnated. And she said, don't fall in love with him because we want him to go wild. And he will go wild. And after he mates, his number one chore will be to defend his mate and his children from humans. He will consider all humans his enemy. And it made me think, okay, love is still there, but it's turned in a different direction. Love is functional. It's functional, my friends, but it's not always directed toward you or me. It's functional to where it needs to go. Okay? That rattlesnake I started talking about gets transported out to the prairie, and it finds fellow rattlesnakes it can hunt with, and it can nest up with, and they do nest up. They have little communities, and they do feed each other. Love is functional there for them. It's not functional between you and them. And one of the hardest things in life to realize that even though all humans are part of the same broad and amazing family, there's not always good functional love between each one of us at all times. We've all had the heartbreak of loving someone who didn't love us back. And I want to encourage you to not take it personally, because for that person, it wasn't functional. For that person needed to leave and go find someone that they really did love and not have to force something with you just because you love them. We're all working out the functions of love. And this is why, you know, Yeshua said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." No one ever loved humanity with more innocence, more purity, and more grace than Yeshua did. But only a few were ready to love him back. And it was okay with him, because he said, "They will come to me when it's their time." And when it becomes your functional time to love someone or something, you will know how to do it with perfection and grace. And this is, you know, this has been now implemented in many levels of therapy, even in prisons of lifetimers, even in prisoners on death row. They have been often given a pet, a bird, a plant. They'll be interviewed to see which one they would like to love. And they find that they are actually capable of loving something. It makes all the difference in a person's life when they discover they can love something. This is a major pillar in helping children through difficult times in their teens. They may have come from a broken family or been through several foster families, and they think, "I don't love anyone, and so I don't believe they love me either, because love isn't real." Okay? And there are lots of kids who've said that. Give them something they do love, and they'll find for the first time in life that love is very real. But it does have functional applications. And it's okay to love one thing and not be able to love something else. We're growing, everybody. Heaven on earth, in my estimation, will be when we can love everyone. And everyone loves us. But they're not expected to love everyone in the same way. They're not expected to accept love from everybody in the same way. You know, the thing is, and this is something I think is a real problem in our culture today, and that is sexual promiscuity. We can love lots of people, both same sex and opposite sex. Same what? Doesn't mean we don't, that we need to love them the whole distance and just experiment and see, "Oh, I wonder how far I can take this." It's not healthy. It's not healthy to think that we are designed to love everyone in the same way. You know, a lot of people marry and try to make parents out of their partners. Not healthy. Not healthy at all. And we impose roles on other people because that's the only role we felt comfortable being loved in. Well, there are literally trillions of ways of loving. I got to a point in my dietary adventure and journey where I learned to say, "Well, I love it, but it doesn't love me." And it's a very, very reasonable thing to say. You know, for many, many, many years, I really enjoyed having either one or a half a glass of wine with dinner, but not every night. you know, if it was a sit down dinner, especially if I had company, I'd break up some wine. We have just enough to libation to make the meal special. That was it. In the last 3 years, it's like, no, I don't want any anymore. It doesn't love me anymore. That's okay. I do have it when I celebrate the Mass. I do have, kosher wine for that. And there's something about the kosher wine, after it's blessed, it's like, it does love me. So maybe I should celebrate Mass before dinner and then take the remainder to the dinner table. But, you know, we can laugh about these things. We can enjoy the diversity of our lives. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about diversity, but it doesn't have to all be within one job. If we just enjoy the natural diversity of life, I can't imagine a planet on which more diversity exists already. Really? Let's learn to be sensible about our life and to know there's love behind everything. And yet it really does make good sense. Even if you saved a baby lion cub's life, to be careful about how you meet the cub in the future. That cub may want to give you a hug that results in biting your neck through. But, you know, you can test it through a fence. Test it and see. And that love may be the same as it ever was. And you could probably remind the little cub of giving the grown lion some of the kind of food you gave the cub to remind it of what your relationship once was. You know, the same thing happens with parents and children. I don't think I need to dwell on that any longer. Nancy, what do you think about this?
Well, we've got so many wonderful folks in the queue, so thank you so much, Christopher. I'm going to move on and open up another line. We have Stephen here, Glenda.
Hi, Stephen.
Hi. Thanks for that lesson. It was quite a journey. I mean, the beavers and the lions and all those things. And I also wanted to thank you for the celery juice, because I've been drinking, I was drinking water for the last 3 days and trying to clean out my kidneys, so I'm going to try the celery now.
It'll be really good for you, because it'll also monitor the speed of how it works and the distribution of the results. It'll be really good for you.
Okay, great. I wanted to ask you for a blessing. I'm publishing a book in a couple of weeks. It's the poetry, The Scarlet Thread in the Cloth of Time is the title. And I just want a blessing that it goes well, you know, when it actually gets published.
It's a book of poetry?
Yeah. Yeah, it's about 130 pages. It's probably my whole life of poetry. So anyway, some of the poems really impacted me, and some of them, they're okay, but some of them were, I still read them and I appreciate them.
That's great.
So thanks.
Can't wait to read it. I will definitely be, I want a signed, I want a signed copy. So, you let me know when they're available.
Okay. Well, I'll mail it to you, and then the next time in Texas, which is in 20 years, I'll sign it.
Oh, no! You gotta sign it before you mail it.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for all your words, and I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Well, we had a nice digression into life, the way life is lived tonight. But, you know, God is on all levels. God is not somewhere else. Right here, right now.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you.
Beating in your heart. Okay.
Thank you, Stephen.
Who do we have next, Nancy?
Thank you, Stephen. We love you and appreciate you. We have Eva. Eva, how are you doing? Haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, well, I'm better than I was for a while. My pain is pretty much gone, which is good.
Yay!
Wonderful.
I still have this thing, but I don't know what it is, in my stomach, which is just kind of bloated, and that's what was keeping me. It's just keeping me from walking up straight and, you know, really walking well. I got to go up and down the steps again, which is a good thing, which I couldn't do for a while. So I just like some more blessings, and hopefully somehow this will pass, because it's been a long time. So I just thought maybe a few blessings, which I know you're giving me anyway. But
Yeah.
Could help.
Well, just remember one thing I said like 5 minutes ago. I learned that I could love a lot of food, but it didn't all love me. So learn from that statement.
Yeah. I'm working very hard. I'm just trying to be okay with what is. And that was very hard for me for a while, and it's getting better.
Good.
You know, accept what is.
Good.
And my age, I'll be 89 by the end of this month. And that makes it harder for me to think that everything's going to be okay. But I used to always believe in anti-aging. I wasn't taking any medications. And now, of course, I'm on some medications, and I would like to get off of some of them. But I don't know what it will be. But I hope it will all be good.
Yeah. Well,
so thank you.
Love, every day you're here, Eva, we love you. We're among the ones who love you. And I'm sure you're loved by many more. By many more.
I appreciate that. I was just thinking this week of when we first came to Sedona, and we came to see you, and that was a big deal. So that was nice.
I will never forget that.
Yeah, I will not either.
Wonderful memory.
And now, while I'm thinking of it, is when that happened, the woman that was working for you at that time, I think it was Ingrid, was it?
Ingrid.
Was her name?
Uh-huh.
Ingrid?
Yeah. It was Ingrid.
And she came out to help because Charlie was in a wheelchair, and you had some steps, which we couldn't do very well. And she came out to help, and she told him when she was trying to get him to do the steps, she says, "You can lean on me," she says, "because I'm strong." And that really made an impression on me, because I was never taught to believe that I was strong. And so to have somebody just say that, I thought, wow, she's just coming out and saying that she's strong. And I had my religion sort of always weighed down what you were, and that you were more like you weren't any good. And so that's what always stayed with me, other than the idea that
That is worth learning from. And yes, you are strong. You've been through so much that you're a hero. You're a hero in my book.
Mm-hmm.
When I look back at all the things that happened, it was, I guess I was pretty strong. But now I'm starting to feel the opposite. So, I have to get back to feeling strong again.
Well, you know, as we get older, we like to define our strength by 21-year-old standards. And that's probably not going to happen. There could be a miracle, But anyway, strong for where you are is what you want.
Yeah.
What I
because it's part of owning your condition.
Yeah, that's what you were saying earlier. Boy, you know, that's hard to do when you don't feel like you're in the right place you want to be in. So I have to believe.
Well, you can only change from where you actually are. So if you don't know where you actually are, you can't change.
Yeah.
That's worth writing down, Eva.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I can't. Since I have had the stroke, I can't write as well. I can't play the piano like I used to, and I can't even hardly play at all. And I can play a little bit, but not like I did. So all of those things are like, I don't like what's happening.
Of course not. But you can say that. That's fair. It's acceptable.
Okay.
Say it. Say, I don't like it. All right. Good. You're honest. You're an honest person.
Yeah.
You know, I have had, the most flexible, coordinated, agile hands of anyone I've personally ever known, which is how I was able to paint with such fine realism. And, I was one of the most acclaimed realist artists of my generation. But since I had arthritis in my right hand and surgery of my, thumb joint, I can barely write anymore. So my painting career is virtually over.
Oh,
you think
man.
I like that? Yeah, you think
no.
I don't like that at all. But it is
right.
What it is. Hey, I had great years. And now I guess it's time that I just retire my hands.
Mm.
People
yeah.
everywhere are going through that, Eva. You're not alone.
Yes, and then when I had the stroke, which was a milder stroke compared to a lot of the people that were in the rehab, and I really had, it really gave me compassion for these other people that were what I would have considered far worse off than I was. And,
amen.
Yeah, that was it. And yet they were, you know, had to be accepting. So that's what I'm working
compassion,
on.
Compassion is a genius state of mind. It really is. Well, I think you're doing great, Eva. I think you're doing just so good. And,
well, thank you.
You know, we can't be 21 years old forever. Otherwise, we'd never go home.
Well, I wasn't real good when I was down there in that age. That's what I used to tell people when they talk about getting old. And a while back, I said, well, I'm a lot better now than I was when I was younger, which people say they would like to be the younger, because I wasn't very healthy when I was young. So.
Okay. But you got the point of what I was saying.
Oh,
you know,
yes, yes.
God takes us through all the stages of our life. Thank you so much. It is good to hear from you again, Eva. Really good.
Sure is. You sound better.
Well,
that's so wonderful.
I'll call in again and ask you more blessings and we'll,
okay.
Back to let Nancy take care.
Oh.
Sure, you're welcome.
Love you, Eva. Glenda, we have Tara Kim. Hi, Tara.
Hi,
hello, Tara Kim.
Hello,
well,
you both.
I am at the point where I think I can write again.
Oh,
hallelujah.
That's wonderful. Yay.
Yay.
I'm glad to hear that. Glad to hear that.
Well, you know, go ahead.
Oh, please go ahead. No, okay. Oh, I just had some blessing requests, three blessing requests today.
All right, let's have them.
The first one is that my husband, Bert, is having a reconstructive procedure around his left eye tomorrow morning. So just blessings for that and the outcome, and, of course, to the doctor and everybody who's helping with that and his healing process.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is I have an upcoming trip to Wisconsin coming up this Thursday through the following Wednesday to help get my mom ready to move to Colorado. So just get that process moving it along a little bit further because we're not going to be moving her until June, but just a prep trip.
Oh, okay. You'll love that.
Yeah, I think so too. Got a great house for her. And then the third request is a business relationship that we have with a gentleman who will be selling a lot of dad's collectibles. And some doubt was introduced in the last week about his honesty and trustworthiness by a third party. So looking for a blessing for that situation. There's a history with my mom and I and our family of having been taken advantage of in the past. And so, like, I don't know if that's coming into play and kind of leads to that. But it's a significant collection that my dad has and stuff. And we were feeling really good about the guy. But then this other guy came along who probably had his own motivations for saying stuff, but don't know if it's true or not. So just a blessing for that whole situation as well.
All right. Good. We've got you on our list, and you will be blessed.
Thank you so much.
Such a blessing to me, too.
Oh, thank you so much. I look forward to working with you.
Thank you so much, Tara. We're glad you called today and are asking to feel the blessings. And we have more callers, so I'm going to keep rolling here. I think this is Nancy from Austin.
Hey, Nancy. From Austin.
Hey.
I'm just asking for continuing blessings for my sister, Laura. She is doing really, really well on the umbilical stem cell treatment and just did a gardening thing where they were giving out watermelon seeds and showing out raised beds and things, and she's doing really well, so continuing blessings. Also for her husband, David, who has health problems. And I'm asking for my cousin, Suzanne, whose husband is in stage 4 cancer, and her father, who's 90 and old.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she's caretaking both of them. So, blessings for Suzanne. And I'm doing well. And just thank you and gratitude to all of the community for everything that you have done. And for Ava, I had a stroke too, and I was able to write during that. I wasn't able to read what I was writing later on, but I did write just to get my feelings down. And it's so interesting to look back at that time and go, ooh, I wasn't able to do a lot of things at that time when I had the stroke. But it's interesting to look back and see how well you progressed afterwards. So I'm looking forward to Ava's progression. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we love your cheerful voice and sweet laughter.
Yes.
Thank you, Linda. I appreciate you guys so much.
Thank you. We hope to hear again from you soon, Nancy. We're going to keep rolling. We've got Francesca here, Glenda.
Hello. So thank you so much for everything so far on this call. I once again so much appreciate having the ability and opportunity to be here on Sundays. And I did want to ask for a blessing for myself. once again for my work situation and just two for like some guidance and discrimination about, you know, what to do kind of thing. So basically just for some additional assistance, I'll say, and I'll just leave it up to Yeshua as to what that might be.
That's a good request. He'll certainly help you.
Thank you.
And just open your heart up to the guidance and listen.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Sounds good. Thank you.
It might be a little different than you expected. That's a problem I sometimes have. And given the answer and I just gloss right over it, don't pay attention to it, and then I come to the end of my day and think, hey, wait just a minute. I got this idea earlier, and I didn't do anything with it. Come to find out that was it, and it wasn't what I expected, so I didn't latch on to it.
That's very helpful, because I did get some idea coming through. So, that, you know, kind of runs counter to what I would necessarily choose to do. So, but nothing negative about it, just not what I would choose to do, you know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. But the thing is, we wouldn't be stuck if we knew what to do. So,
that's right.
if we're stuck, chances are the answer is something we haven't thought about yet.
That's true. It's true. Very true.
Yeah, change is hard sometimes. I did read a really good quote though, y'all, and from Corrie Ten Boom. She helped a lot of folks during the war, you know, and hid Jews. But she said, and it just really touched me, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And I was like, oh, gosh, isn't that great? So maybe just like that trust maybe could help where you're not afraid.
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
That's very important. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Trust is just the active side of faith.
Mm. I love that.
Yeah. Thank you. Very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Francesca. We love you. We're so glad you called today.
Yeah. Love you all, too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We have one more caller before we end our time together today. Glenda, we have Susan. We're so glad you're back today.
Thank you.
Hi,
Susan. Hi. I'm glad your cough is better. That's wonderful. And that's great news. You've waited a long time patiently for this, so this is something to celebrate. Thank you for everything. I have a few blessings. My best friend's daughter gave birth about 6 weeks ago to a 3-pound baby. They had to take her. She had that high blood pressure situation, so they had to take the baby early, and she's doing pretty well, but she's almost 6 pounds, and she wasn't taking her full bottle. I guess she was falling asleep. And her mother, who's my best friend's daughter, is pumping the milk for her, and then at night they supplement it with the formula. In any event, she wound up being anemic, so they had to give her a transfusion. And so prayers for Olivia, who's, you know, trying to get through the obstacles, and, you know, meantime she's still in the hospital. So little Olivia, let's put a lot of prayers around her and her mother, certainly, Kim, and their family. And then a good friend of mine whose husband has been, was diagnosed with cancer a few years ago. You know, apparently now it's spread through his body. His name is John. And I would put prayers, around her. Her name is Sue, his wife, and, her husband for, you know, whatever is you know, before them in the next few months. And I went to my eye doctor, and I knew my vision isn't quite, you know, need some help here. So I had a partial corneal replacement, and they want to do, there's some scar tissue from the cataract that was a few years ago. So they want to do a YAG, whatever that stands for, you know, a whole bunch of, you know, it's a laser thing, a 15-minute laser thing. Mm-hmm. So that's gonna happen. And then, you know, in May, my other eye, you know, the cataract progressed. So I have some eye situations. So that are coming up. So some blessings for me for that. And but you know, that's about it. And then ongoing for my son, who's struggling with his relationship with, his name is Matthew, and Alyssa, and their child, Ethan. So, that's it. But, that's it, really.
Okay. That's... Let there be peace in your life.
Thanks.
And treasure the peace. Receive every potential for joy. And may the will of God be done.
Thank you. I also love that. I want to remember that what you said, Nancy, about that that quote. I love that quote. So I want to remember that quote. Thank you for that. And
well,
thank you.
Did you write it down?
No, I need to. As soon as I get off the call, I'm going to write it down.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
Love you.
Love you too.
Okay, Glenda, we are,
well,
have a clear board.
Yeah, we are. And we had great conversations today. Lots of warm, loving people extending their love out to others and asking for God's help in growing and achieving the best in their own lives. I love it when our community just speaks up. And one of the things I notice is how much everybody's request for blessing is something that 10 other people could easily be requesting, and they didn't have to talk. So we're actually speaking for one another without knowing it. When communities come into that level of closeness, we do just speak for one another. And as we give the blessings that were requested, I know it will spill over to the blessings that were held in the hearts of everyone, but not necessarily spoken. But now you're going to speak your blessings. But the blessing givers and I will offer the energy of the blessing, which is the grace of God, the peace of the Holy Spirit, and the love of Christ. This blessing will come to you in an energetic form, purely and simply because everything in our universe is energy. And interestingly enough, even peace is energy. So when you think or about maybe wanting to say to someone or something, could we have a little peace around here? How about let's let peace reign? We're actually giving peace a little bit of physical presence, which it does have. So let the power of peace prevail. Let the love of Christ bring us into all of the healing energy that we need for ourselves and to pass on to those we love. And the grace of God to create exceptions of possibility and probability. The impossible will become possible. That which we thought could not even be is and can be. Because the one who created it all can create it again with opportunities that did not exist even 20 minutes before. New possibilities are there. So look around you all in the next week, the next few weeks, months. Look around you and look to see if new things are there you didn't notice before, because they literally, literally could be. Now I want you to just to limber up. You've been sitting here for, we've been sitting here for an hour and a half, which is a long time today. So move your arms and your legs around. Oh, we won't take the time to be a little bit calisthenic about it, but you know what you need. And just do it. Wiggle in your chair. Stand up. Move around. Take a very deep breath, because not only does it bring the energy of oxygen into your body, but it also is going to help clear out and clean out residues that have now been made available for releasing. And when in the out-breath, just blow them out. Be done with them. Be gone with them. And another deep breath and do the same thing. Okay? And then we'll do our four square breath. For those who are new, it's a simple breath. It's just nothing calisthenic, nothing breatharian about it, just gentle, every day, every moment of life breathing. But you're going to be mindful about it. You're going to put timing into it so that you can really appreciate the grace and the miracle of a simple breath. I'm going to exhale to the count of four. And it's your count of four. And pause now to the same count of four. So that the breath you release can go on its way and do its work independently of you. And then we're going to inhale to the count of four. And you're taking in what you need and blessing it with your mindfulness. Just take it in and hold it. Accept it and distribute it into your body to the count of four. It's a gentle process. And then exhale to the count of four. It all starts over again. You've been doing this since the moment you were born. And you will continue it to your last moment on this earth. It's your pace of life, which is why I don't give you the counting. It's your counting. It's your pace. It's for you to appreciate. And in appreciating it, it will make you much more aware of all the other blessings that you will just simply breathe in the course of living. You will breathe in something you didn't notice yesterday. And then you will give out charitably something you didn't know was needed today until you give it. And you'll take back the gratuity to you from life. It's thanks to you for living and being here. Now continue with this mindful breath as I offer my prayer to Yeshua. O Lord, Divine One among us, who came to show us divinity living in human form, we pray that you hear the prayers of everyone, our community, our group, and also the prayers of everyone everywhere. They need you. They want you. And sometimes they don't know that it's you they want. But I pray that you let them discover it. For your bounties are endless. Your love is unbending and forever. Thank you for the time you have granted me and the voice you've given me to share with others. We ask for peace on earth. And I know that's a big request, given the turmoil our world is in, but the process could begin now. You know it. I know it. So many others know it. We want it. We want peace to begin now. And we work with the process. Blessings are all around us. Help us to project our life out from beyond the limitations of ourself so that we may contact the extraordinary and beautiful blessings that have been laid before us. That we may sit at the table before our enemies. Not that we call them enemies, they just don't understand us yet, and we don't understand them. So we do life separately, but here we are with them. Let the blessings flow, and let us find blessings to offer to those we've never exchanged with before, that we've never even talked with before. Let us grow in our community. And as we grow, let us provide thoughts for how we can give more to more people. How we can give more love, but more food, more substance, more opportunities that we may grow into the beautiful family we were created to be. We ask that you care for the young, for the children, protect them, keep them safe, feed them, hug them, allow them to know that their life is precious to you and to others. We ask that you be with the elderly, that they may know they're not being pulled down. They're being released so that they may lift up and rise up and be more than they ever thought they could be. We ask your blessings for a great welcome home to those who are moving back home now. May it be a joyous return to friends, family, and loved ones since the beginning of time. All these things we ask in your glorious name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now in offering the blessing to our beautiful community and to all of humankind and the world? Amen, amen, and amen. The blessing has been given. Now, what I want you to do next is rest. I want you to stretch out flat, like a board on the ground. Okay. Let it be a whiteboard on which God can write the blessings you've been given. Don't continue your prayer. Say amen when you lie down and let it be it. Let it be over. Because you just want to receive, not think. Do not turn your mind to anything. Not to worries. Not even to positive expectations. Just be blank. You can continue your four square breath. That's a good thing to do. And then, after that, get on with your day. Get on with your week. Enjoy the blessings that come to you without seeking spontaneously. And keep your eyes and attention open for blessings that might not be quite so evident. But when you look upon them, you'll recognize them. Things have been moved around for you. For you to have more of what you need for your life. More of what you need to become the best version of you. Living in the best version of your environment. That is possible right now. Thank you for being here. And I look forward to being with you again next week. And in many, many Sundays after, bye-bye for now.